We're doing the Chazoni Shemana Bitachon. We're up to page Hey, paragraph Hey. Od lefanen tochnit mubedet mulefet zapirei hatvuna hameida al kisharon poala asher en koach l'adam lechokav latet lo tehila v'sheva hatochnit shel hazivug zechav en keva. There's another amazing thing when you look at the order of the world. There's something which is adorned with the sapphires of understanding. There is something about the way the world runs which is testimonial to the great talent that was invested in creating this world. There is something which the human mind cannot really understand, and we don't even have the capacity to praise, and that is the capacity to mate. The idea that men and women can unite kedei leavtiach nitzchiyut ha'olam in a manner that ensures a continuum, an eternal continuum to the world. Pliyot ha'kelim shel amin lekol echad. Uvriat ha'ratzon ha'muchach leavtachat inyanam. On the one hand, God creates every man and woman. They're given, in general, they're given the tools to procreate. And Hashem builds in, built into the system, there's this, we call it natural, but it's not logical. The desire that attracts, why is a man attracted to a woman and why is a woman attracted to a man? There's no logic to it. There's attraction there that's part of how Hashem wired us, that we are attracted. And we're so used to it that we're actually attracted that we don't bother thinking about how wondrous it is. Hashem created all these and gave them foundations and they're existent forever. Really, Rambam writes this, Kuzari writes this, meaning this isn't Chazon Ish's invention. This is a concept that appears in the writings of the sages already from a millennium ago that also appears in the Gemara. If you'd stop to think about it, if you'd use your mind and not your heart, you wouldn't want to get married. You have a lot to lose and certain amount to gain. But there's the idea that man is interested in being intimate with woman. It has nothing to do with logic. It's all desire. Hashem created us that we desire it. What's logical about it? You can say, I want to drink water because it keeps me alive. Do I desire water? When I'm very thirsty, so I desire water. But otherwise, I'm not. But the idea that man has such a tremendous desire, he's so interested in being intimate with a woman. Why?
Because he wants to reproduce himself.
No. That's not why. It's good, you know, that might be a good logical reason, but there's a built-in desire. Hashem wired us that way. A normal man is very attracted. You guys know the story of the goat, yeah?
The goat?
The goat. Okay. This guy wants to raise his son in tremendous piety. So he takes him out to a desert island, and he brings him up out there where he'll never see a woman his whole life. And when the kid hits 18, 19, he decides, I have to expose him to society a little bit. So he gets a rowboat and he takes him back to the mainland. They get on the mainland, they start walking on a road, and across the street there's a woman. So he says, Tate, tate, vos is tus? What's that? So his father says, ooh, that's a special type of goat. So he looks at the woman, he looks at his father, he says, that's a special type of goat. His father says, yeah, that's a special type of goat. He says, Tate, father, can you get me a goat like that? So he grew up 18, 19 years in the epitome of purity. All it took was 1 second to look at that special type of goat, and he's attracted. Yeah, that's the way Hashem wired us. So we take it for granted. We take it for granted. This whole idea that we have the capacity to procreate, that we're interested in procreating, that man spends his life daydreaming, wondering, fantasizing, desiring to get married, and a woman wants to get married. Yeah, that's part of the wondrous things that Hashem created in the planet. Od mina ne'lamot, maridei ayinu maflei lev. Another thing that's really, we don't really think about, but it is a wondrous thing. Yetzirat adam bevet enimo. The formation of man in his mother's womb. V'dirato sham tisha yerachim. And he lives there for 9 months. V'chaim esudarim. Life is very organized. Chaim ne'imim. Holech v'gadel. He's got a really pleasant life there as he grows. You know, they can see how children in utero today, they can see them suck their thumb. They can see when a child starts sucking his thumb in utero. They can see children move to the beat of music. They hear what's going on outside the womb. Children react to light. If you put light on a mother's stomach, the child will react. He will shift his head away from the light. It's like it's blinding him. What does he understand? Ah, but they do. There's a reaction. So, okay. Let's hear him out for a second, and then I'll get back to that. You know how many times the cells replicate themselves? Imagine a woman who became pregnant 2 weeks ago. Inside her stomach, she has cells the size of about, let's begin with the egg. How big is a woman's egg? You know, when a woman menstruates, so the egg comes out with all the blood. How big is the egg? Any guess? The size of a ping pong ball? The size of a cube of sugar? The size of the egg is the size of one kernel of sugar. That's the size of an egg that comes into a woman's stomach. That's the size. Now, it gets fertilized, that egg, and it becomes a zygote. You know how many times in the course of those 2 weeks the cells will replicate themselves again and again and again and again? And then when the brain forms, let's just look at the brain, the number of folds in the brain that allow for tremendous movement of the flow of energy and thought through the brain, the folds maximize the use of the space of the brain, the folds within the brain, as the way the wiring of the brain is folded in and out, coming back to here. So he's got this pleasant life, holech v'gadel. The growth in utero is phenomenal. We never have such a thing in real life. Meaning, once the baby's born, he's never growing at the pace that he's growing in utero. You know, in 9 months, he's going from a cluster of cells to being you. I'm saying, you started that way too, right? Me too. Holech u'mitpater, the baby develops. You know, babies are very often born with a birth tag by their ear. Whenever a baby is born with a birth tag by their ear, like a little piece of skin hanging down by the ear. So whenever a baby is born with that, so they check his kidneys. Because today we know scientifically that the ears form at the same time that the kidneys form. So if you see something strange by the ears, you also have to check out the kidneys formed. That's amazing. Think about it. He didn't have ears a week ago. Now he has ears. I told you guys, I recommend the first pregnancy, you get one of those books that describe week by week what's developing. You'll suddenly look at your wife's stomach differently as you start thinking, hey, there are ears forming in there now. His hand developed into fingers now. Last week he didn't have fingers, now he has fingers. Last week he didn't have hair, now he has hair. Last week there was no heartbeat, now there's a heartbeat. You look at it and you start seeing, hey, wait, there's tremendous development here. So that's one of the amazing things that we just take for granted. The next thing, you know, a baby in utero, his head is a cone shape. Yeah? When a baby's born, baby's heads are cone shaped. The pieces of the skull shift downward. If you take a picture of a baby just after it's born, it's one way. As the first 48 hours pass, the pieces of the skull go down and shift downward into what we call a normal head. Why? Because he has to go through the birth canal. And most babies, the heaviest part of a baby is supposed to be his head. In a normal, healthy baby, the heaviest part is the head. That's why, by the way, it's so dangerous to leave a bucket with water. That's why babies die every year from a bath with only this much water. Because what happens is, as they look over, they're head heavy, they're top heavy. And so they tip over, they have no control. A baby that looks over, if he's looking over a pail, he will very easily tip into the pail. And then takes only this much water for, we don't want him to finish that, right? So that babies are top heavy, but he's going to come down the canal. Most babies come down head first. So his head is formed in a way that he'll flow through more easily. And only later, after he's born, does the head shift down and widen out. You guys will all see that. That's why the cutest baby pictures are not the first 2 days. Unless, I mean, we took pictures because we thought it was cool. That we're the cone heads, right? I'm saying it's now you'll see. That's another thing that forms over time. That's another thing. So as the baby has to come out, Shover dalte imo v'yotze. Suddenly he breaks through the door and he comes out. V'chol zaruch besodei tzirah. All of this is in the formation. You know, nature is suddenly charging forward. When the baby's time is to come, he comes. It could be Shabbos morning, it could be Yom Kippur morning. It doesn't matter. Suddenly things start happening. The woman dilates. Everything starts opening up so the baby can come out. There are so many forces that work in conjunction for the baby to come out. The womb has to open properly. You know, we don't think about it, but the baby forms, right? If the baby's placenta forms over the entrance to the womb, then the baby can't come out. The placenta has to attach itself to the wall of the womb. So imagine a woman's stomach. On the bottom, there's an opening. So that opening stays sealed shut. You can't open it. It's excruciatingly painful to the woman. The uterus is sealed shut so that no germs can come in. The baby remains safe inside. The time comes for her to give birth. Suddenly everything opens. The uterus opens. The sac comes down. His head comes down through the uterine opening. Now, what would be if there were a placenta there? Placenta is, if you could imagine, an external liver, an external set of veins. The placenta is within the sac. The placenta is what feeds the baby. The baby forms. I imagine you have like a chicken's egg, right? So the chicken's going to form on one side of the egg, and on the other side is going to be all its nourishment. So when the baby forms within the mother, there's a general sac. And what forms, there are two things form. There's the placenta, which gives it the blood and the nourishment and all the food from the mother. It goes from the mother into the placenta, from the placenta into the baby. The placenta also takes the baby's waste out. It's all in the placenta, both of those. And there's a special fluid, amniotic fluid, that the baby lives in inside the mother. The baby breathes until it comes out of the mother. It breathes through its umbilical cord. If a baby were to do this, just to take one breath inside the mother, his life would be at risk because he has fluid all around him. So the baby knows the exact second that he comes out of the mother that his breathing has to start from the mouth and not from the umbilical cord. So long as he's in the mother, he's breathing from the umbilical cord. He comes out and suddenly you go, ah, yeah, that's good. He's starting to breathe. That's his first breath out here. So long as he's inside, he's not allowed to breathe. And if he breathes, then very often children have certain problems because they actually do take a suck of that amniotic fluid. So all this is, it suddenly works. We take it for granted. The uterus opens up. The baby comes down. In 95% of the cases, when the baby developed, the placenta stuck itself to the uterine lining in a place where it does not get in the way. And the woman doesn't have to die when the baby's born. Then you have 5% where she does. I know, today we can do a C-section. Today we know how to get around that. But a century and a half ago, so then that's one of the main reasons why women died at childbirth, because there was no way the baby could come out without destroying the placenta. And the placenta is directly connected to the woman's blood, and that would cause a woman to bleed to death at delivery. Coming back to here, so all these forces work together. There's tremendous pace that goes on here. As the contractions go on, and there's an order, there's a system, till suddenly you see, hey, there's a brand new baby, he's alive, he's clean, he's beautiful. And you see, this was part of the plan, because everything works in conjunction. That desire of man to marry woman, the capacity of man to procreate, the capacity of woman to procreate, woman being given a womb, the womb having the lining that can develop a baby, all the cells developing the way they should, until finally it comes time to give birth, and then again everything has to work in conjunction. That split second, you guys know the heart, so long as the baby is in utero, the heart has to shift the blood differently, because it's not breathing. So the ventricles of the heart are different sizes in utero. When the baby comes out, there's suddenly a shift. There's like a shaft that closes for the rest of his life, because from that point onward, the way the blood flow is going to be different, because now he's breathing. He's getting his air from here instead of from his umbilical cord. He's getting it from his mouth. There's a shift that happens in a split second. We don't even know about it. The baby comes out. It's not only that in that split second, the baby somehow knows to stop breathing through the umbilical cord and start breathing in his mouth. There's also that shift within the heart. The baby comes out, suddenly the heart starts working differently. All of this is part of an amazing plan. The baby comes out, and suddenly he has a reflex. If you take a clean finger, gentlemen, wash your fingers with soap and get them clean and dry them on something clean. If you wash them with soap and dry them on a machon meir towel, that's not called clean. But if you take a clean finger and you push it up on the baby's upper palate, the baby has an instinct where he must suck. He doesn't have a choice. It's one of the ways I put my kids to sleep at night when they're newborns. They get very annoyed. The baby's crying and I stick my finger in and suddenly he can't cry anymore. He's got to, you know, he's got to suck. He can't cry. It's instinct. But that's what happens also with a pacifier. And suddenly the baby has an instinct and the mother has the capacity to nurse. Do you know that the mother's milk the first 2 days is different than the milk on the third day? And the first week is different than the second week? Because the mother is giving antibodies to the baby. Babies don't need to get vaccinated for chickenpox, let's say, if their mother had chickenpox. The baby for the first half a year, for sure, and for some things even the first year, is getting all his antibodies from the mother. That's why it's so important that babies should nurse.
How long have you been in love for?
About 5-6 years. She can. Usually she stops nursing, so she stops producing. But a woman can nurse for many years. Yeah. It's not recommended. We say a baby should nurse up to 2 years. But technically, could. So the milk that she produces has different components depending on the age of the baby, depending on what the baby needs. They used to say, maybe you're not getting enough nourishment, so buy Similac. Today no one says that. Even the companies that produce the supplements, the different formulas, they all write the best is baby's milk. Because today we know that there are so many components to the milk that have nothing to do with the nutrition, be it the antibodies, be it the hormones. There are so many things. Hashem creates it that way. The woman can suddenly nurse. There's something, another amazing thing. The mother wants to deal with this wailing creature. Why? He drives the daylights out of her. Nursing is painful. The first time she nurses, it's painful because it hurts her in the place where he's nursing. The second time, it's painful because it causes her uterine to contract. So it's doubly painful. So it's pain. What do you want to do this for? She doesn't know why. It's part of the wiring. Hashem created her that she wants to nurse the baby. We have a name for it, so that's why it makes sense to us. We call it love. Hashem also created the baby that he finds it natural to just nurse and enjoy it. You know, mother's milk is sweet. It's sweeter than regular milk. And mother's milk is made in a way that the baby has to work hard to get it out. It develops his muscles, and it ensures that he doesn't drink a lot. There's a much higher percentage of children that die from SIDS who do not nurse than children who do nurse. Because Hashem created it so that a baby has to work hard to get the milk out of the mother. So he will only nurse what he really needs. Whereas a bottle is very easy. So the baby just keeps drinking and gets fat and then overeats. And then there's a much higher percentage of children that unfortunately die from SIDS. SIDS is sudden infant death syndrome. Yeah. Sudden infant. Okay. Okay. There are children who they suddenly find them dead in the crib and they didn't know there was any problem. So what they're seeing is that there are many cases where it's indigestion, where the milk comes up and the kid has no way of taking it down. Yeah, kids spit up. That's true. But there are situations where the kid cannot deal with it, and they've found that it's much more prevalent in babies that are not nursing, because when a baby nurses, it's a little bit harder, and that's healthy for the baby. So this is all part of the amazing system that we see in the desire of man to get married, the way man procreates, the way the baby develops, the baby comes out, the baby nurses. We look at it and we say, yeah, of course. No, says the Chazon Ish, you want to see God in the world? Start looking at the order of the world and how beautiful this order works together. Yes?
Can